Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of women and men who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. I'm Bridie and today I'll be speaking to Sonia. When Sonia was diagnosed with breast cancer, she found out she had the BRCA2 gene. Through her Instagram, she was able to find a community to talk to about her experiences. Sonia, thank you for joining me today. I wondered if you could start by telling me a bit about when you were first diagnosed with breast cancer.
So I was first diagnosed with breast cancer in October 2016. I was on a holiday with my boyfriend at the time, and I just happened to turn over in my sleep and the side of my arm brushed on the side of my breast and I felt a lump. Immediately, I just burst out crying because I think my instincts just knew what it was. But because it was the first day of my holiday, me and my boyfriend discussed it, said we're just going to try, put it to the back of my mind, have fun. When we get back home, get it checked out. So when I went to the doctors, when I went to my GPs, they first said, oh, it seems like it's hormonal. So they sent me away. And then said, come back in a couple of weeks, came back in a couple of weeks, and it was still there. So they sent me for a biopsy, had a biopsy at the hospital, and then a week later was told that it was cancerous. So, yeah, that's how I was diagnosed.
And how did you react to your diagnosis? Obviously, it's a horrible piece of news to receive, but you mentioned in a blog that you wrote for this that your mum passed away, sadly, from breast cancer when you were young. Was that in your mind? Is that sort of why you burst out crying when you saw
mum? Immediately, when I was told, I just felt like I was floating. Like, it didn't feel real. And obviously, I immediately thought of my mum and everything she went through, her reactions to chemo and having to see it all for 6 years. Immediately I was just in disbelief and panic and shock and just so many emotions. I can't even describe them in words, but it just, I just felt like I was in a different world.
Yeah. So in terms of your treatment process, so you mentioned that your mum had bad reaction to chemo. You had chemotherapy, didn't you?
Yeah.
So was that something as well when you were going, was that like a fear of you after having seen your mum go through it?
After he told me it was cancerous, I came back a week later to discuss treatment plan. So I went with my dad and my two sisters and we all sat there and the whole week I was being really hopeful, like, oh, they're just going to remove the lump and I'm not going to have chemo, I'm not going to have radiotherapy, it'll be fine. I was in a bit of disbelief about it all. So then when I sat down with him, he was like, you're going to have all four treatment plans, which is chemo, surgery, radiotherapy and tamoxifen, so hormone drugs afterwards. And I think that was worse than being diagnosed because that's when I truly started relating to my mum, because I started thinking about losing my hair, how she did, and chemo and what it did to her. And I think that was the moment where I just like fully broke down. I just thought I have to do it. Whatever they suggest, I have to.
How did your family react? Obviously, it was such a thing that they've already gone through once, even if you were at a young age. Were they really supportive of what you were going through?
They were really supportive, but also it was hard for them because they've seen not only my mum go through it, but my auntie as well, who we were really close to. So, yeah, I think it was just really hard for the whole family. Like, I remember the first night I told my dad, he was in shock. Like, he wasn't really saying much. And then I was in bed and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning and he just burst into my room crying. And he was on his knees and he was just by my bed crying. And that moment was really like heartbreaking. I think it took a while for like it to sink in, like it did with me. I felt like I was in a different world for like a couple of weeks. I just didn't know what was going on. But after that, they were all really supportive. They came with me to every chemotherapy appointment, like most appointments, and
it's really lovely to have them around you in that moment. So as we mentioned in the introduction, during your treatment you found out you had the BRCA2 gene. Would you mind talking a little bit about that experience and how you coped, especially as you mentioned of your mum and your auntie, so there was a family history there?
Because I was diagnosed when I was 27, the oncologist straight away was like, you must have some sort of gene. So she looked into my family background. I went ahead with the gene test and then I found out I am a BRCA2 carrier. Luckily, my sisters aren't, They've been checked now, which is great. And my cousin in Denmark is. So it's nice that me and her can, like, support each other with certain things. So, I found out, and then I was given the option of whether I wanted a lumpectomy or a full bilateral mastectomy, which is both of your breasts removed. Because if I just had a lumpectomy, I think they said the stats were, don't quote me on this, but I think they said the stats were something like 80, 90% of it coming back. So I just weighed up my options and thought it's best to get a bilateral mastectomy because I wouldn't want to go through chemo and everything again.
Yeah, that's such a big decision to make as well, especially I suppose you didn't really know about BRCA2 until it told you when you were going through treatment. How did you deal with having the mastectomy? Was it something that in your head, as you said, I just want it gone, just want it to... Were you prepared for sort of after effects of it?
No.
No, yeah.
No, I don't think you can prepare for that. Mm-mm. It's been... I don't know, I still don't think I'm fully over it, but I feel like every day I'm getting closer to accepting, like, the scars and everything I've been through. But I'm just happy that I haven't got that risk anymore, because I know with my mum, she got breast cancer when I was 8, and she passed away when I was 14. So for 6 years, on and off, she was fighting cancer, on and off, because she kept getting secondary cancer again. So for me, it was like, I don't want it to come back. I don't want to go through what my mum went through. So the best option is to reduce my risks.
Yeah.
So I think that every day makes me feel better. But the whole scars and coming to terms with that, that's still a process and it's still a journey I'm on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Is that something that your Instagram has helped you sort of process? I know that you've sort of founded your own community by starting to share your experience candidly, putting on photos. I've seen so many of them, they're amazing.
Oh,
just
thank you.
Really love your Instagram account. And you're really honest in your captions about how you're feeling, you know, when you're going through hormone therapy or, as you say, adapting to your body as it is now. Has your community sort of helped you process some of the feelings after your treatment?
Most definitely, because for the first 6 months, I only told my immediate family and close friends. And then I turned 28, and for some reason, I just wrote a blog and I posted a picture of me with my bald head. And just that release of writing and putting it out there in the world, and the reaction I got to how many people I inspired or helped with different situations, it just made what I was going through that little bit better. So, definitely finding a community on Instagram has helped me massively, and just writing, just getting my feelings out there and saying how I feel and being really honest with how I'm feeling has really helped just filter through my emotions and get it all out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Is it a place as well where you've been able to talk about things that you weren't aware of before your diagnosis? For example, in the blog that you wrote for us, you talked about fertility and how you felt that you didn't really have time to discuss fertility options before treatment. Would you mind talking a bit about that, and then maybe how you sort of continue that conversation now?
So I've noticed from speaking to people who have gone through breast cancer that every single person's journey is different. It's not just... you get diagnosed, you go to chemo, you get the surgery. Like, everybody I have talked to has not had the same journey, has not had the same process. So for me, I had talked to people and they were like, oh yeah, before I started chemo, I got to freeze my eggs, I got to do IVF, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get that option. My oncologist rushed me straight to chemotherapy and was like, it's grade 3, like, it can grow rapidly, we need to get you to chemo next week. So I didn't even have a chance to process it. And then afterwards, when we discussed chemo more and more, and as I was going through it, the question of fertility kept coming up and whether I'd be able to have babies in the future. And it wasn't even anything I was thinking about.
Well, you're only 27.
I was only 27 and I was in a new relationship at the time.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And he would be coming to appointments with me and it would be really awkward because it'd be like... we're discussing fertility and it's weird. But I had to. I had to think about it. And I went through this whole... it was so weird because I went through this whole process of grieving for a child I never had. And that whole option being taken away from me. So I wasn't even focusing on the cancer. I was focusing on I might not be able to ever have babies. But then I went, I remember it was the moment I went to Christmas at Kew, so the light show, and I saw this little girl just walking around, and I just looked at her and thought, if I could adopt a little girl, I would be happy. So I thought worst case scenario would be adoption, and that would make me, like, I'd be full of joy if I could adopt. I've always wanted to adopt anyway since I was younger. So I just thought, stop focusing on that, concentrate on yourself, stop worrying about the future, like, it is what it is. I was worrying about something that now I have eggs, my body's recovered, it's bounced back, like, it's fine, I have the option of having kids. So I don't know, I just think the whole fertility thing is different for everyone, and now I really had ill feelings towards my oncologist for not giving me the option. But now I see it. She was trying to just save my life. She didn't want it to spread. She didn't want it to spread to my lymph nodes or cause secondary cancer. So looking at it in hindsight now, it's like, no, she was doing the best thing for me. So I think you kind of just have to trust the doctors a little bit.
Yeah. When you were talking just then about how your body's bounced back, that's such a lovely thing to hear, especially because, like you said, you had your mastectomy and you're dealing with that as well.
Yeah.
Do you feel sort of that you are moving forward from your breast cancer diagnosis? I know it's been a year or so since. Do you feel that is that something that your community on Instagram is helping you with? Are you doing things that are helping you sort of move past your diagnosis?
Yeah. So after my bilateral mastectomy, which was in May 2017, I had quite a hard time in hospital because I was a rare case where I just got really sick with infections and stuff. But after I came out of hospital and I bounced back and I started getting my strength up, I just focused on all, because I was in hospital for 6 weeks, and I honestly believed that I wouldn't make it out of hospital. So I started thinking about all the things I hadn't done, like silly things. So as soon as I came out, I wrote a 30 things to do before 30 list, and I just focused on that. So like little things like watch all three Godfathers, which I've never done.
I've never done that either. Actually, that should definitely be on my list.
Yeah. So I did that. Watch ET. I'd never watched ET fully. So did that. And then other things like fly business class or, go in an infinity pool or just little things like that I just completely focused on. And I feel like doing that has helped me move away from the breast cancer a little bit, and it's made me focus on what breast cancer did for me rather than what that journey was and how painful and hard it was. I'm focusing on how much it's changed me as a person, how much it's inspired me to go out there and live. And like every year now I do 12 things to do that year. So I'm doing a 12 things to do in 31 now. One of them was go to Vegas. So I just, I'm focusing on that rather than what I went through. And I feel like that is helping me move on.
Yeah, it's like positive things to look forward to rather than looking back.
And it's helping me move past it, and it's helping me be grateful for the fact that I went through that. And the fact that now I'm a lot more confident, as much as I've got scars, I'm a lot more confident in who I am as a person. And I know what I want from life. And yeah.
Is that sort of what you're sharing on your Instagram now? Is that the kind of message that you're sort of giving to your followers? It's like, this is the positive things I'm doing.
Yeah.
Here's how I'm doing that. Are they communicating back? Like, are they being inspired? You're getting nice comments, that sort of thing.
I'm getting loads of nice comments. I've inspired so many people to do a 30 things to do before 30, or like even my friend's mum, a 60 things to do before 60. It's amazing how much I've inspired people, and not even people who have gone through cancer or anything of the sort, just inspiring people to be a bit more confident in themselves. Even my friends, they tell me all the time, like, you've inspired me to be stronger, or I'm dealing with this situation and I've read some of your blog posts and it's helped me. So yeah, it is really nice.
Yeah. And is that sort of where you see it going? Like the community that you built during your treatment and through all the stuff and your side effects, what you're going through, where it is now, is that how you see it sort of going in this year or so?
Yeah. And it's like even the other girls that I've followed throughout their journeys of cancer, they're now recovering, their hair's growing. It's like they're going through they're going through the same thing that I'm going through, the recovery process. And it's nice seeing their pictures and seeing them out there and living and doing things for themselves. So I feel like they inspire me and as much as I inspire somebody else. So it is a nice community to have. And I honestly don't know what I would have done without social media. Like those 6 months where I kept it quiet and kept all my feelings to myself. And yeah, I did have my family and friends to speak to, but speaking to someone who's going through it is so much different. And people who are my age, because when I was in that chemotherapy room, there was no one my age. No one. They were all above 50. So just speaking to girls on Instagram who are my age going through it was just amazing.
Yeah. And now you're supporting each other through this other side.
Which is so seeing lovely. Their journeys and seeing them recover. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it is amazing. And I feel very inspired right now. Thank you so much for speaking with me today,
Thank
Sonia.
Thank you.
If you'd like to follow Sonia on Instagram and read her wonderful words, you can find her at Spicy Kale Lover. Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.